First, I want to say hello, and let's not get discouraged by the wheat and the tares growing together. The Bible said this was going to happen, and boy, it's happening in our day, isn't it? And I also want to encourage you that are just sitting at home and you've had to leave churches. It's very biblical, you know, to go house to house and to have people in your house. So let's open with prayer for you that are doing home churches right now. And don't be discouraged because they had to do it in the New Testament. In the book Acts, they went from house to house. And it's very scriptural to leave these systems as they get infiltrated to find where two or three are gathered in the midst, he's there. So we pray for all the people that are watching, those that have left churches that they were a part of for years and years and years. And Father, I thank you for honoring them and blessing them because you told us that we had to separate from the beast and the beast system and give them strength and give them courage. And I pray for new friendships, friendships that are lasting, that are strong, people that are of the same mind. We just pray, Father, for divine connections wherever they live. We just thank you for people to find each other in this day and hour. Nothing is too hard for you, so we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in Matthew 10, this is a scripture I haven't really heard a lot of people preach about. Matthew 10 and 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now the Antichrist and all the false prophets say peace and safety. It's not what the Bible says. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, against the daughter, against her mother, and the mother-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth not me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Be encouraged, because the wheat and the tares are growing together, but God is building his church. He said he would build his church, and there will always be a remnant. But it's a narrow way. It's a narrow path. But along this narrow path is also this wide, massive, so-called path of deception. And in 2 Thessalonians, we talked about this last week. We're going to go there real quick. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. And I want to say, even all the things that are happening today, wars, rumors of wars, lack of supply, lack of foods in some of our grocery stores, all the stuff that's happening, don't be shaken. Right. It's tempting to be fearful. It's tempting to freak out. But he's our peace in the midst of a storm. He said, don't be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all, and is also called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And this is what? It's an anti-Christ. So here he talks about a great deception. Why are we not hearing about the great falling away? We're hearing about a great awakening, exactly. A great revival. So I want to just help some of you understand this a little bit, that there is a great deception that has infiltrated the church. If there was a great deception, which we know there is, but if there was a great deception in the church, a falling away, what would it look like? Jesus said, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived, right? Yeah. So we have to pray for wisdom. We have to pray for discernment. And we have to know when a teaching is false. So I'm going to share a little bit about what we should expect. What does a false teaching look like? Because it's truth mixed with error. And there's the poison and the confusion. So this deception would tell people to expect a great revival, not a great falling away, like the Bible says. So that is a great deception. The falling away comes as a revival. Mm-hmm. The deception will claim to be all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They knew the name of Jesus. They're not going to come in some other name. They come in his name. So this deception's coming not only as a great revival, but it's also coming in his name. This deception will be accepted by the masses. The wide gate. I remember Robert Schuller talking about, I'm so glad that you see the wide gate. He was talking to someone else. And way back in the day, if you know your Bible, you know that that was, they were just telling on themselves who they were right there. Because the Bible says it's a narrow path. So the wide gate is the masses are going to accept this. This deception would twist, add on, or take away and distort the Bible in order to deceive people using the Bible or totally ignoring it, which we've seen. This is also the wide gate. And this deception, where's it going to come from? Where's this so-called deception coming from? From trusted Christian leaders that have huge platforms. And now we're seeing them bring in with their platforms some of these other agendas. Drinking the Kool-Aid. Christian leaders bringing in, what are they bringing in? They're bringing in pagan ideas. So now we have the church infiltrated and we're seeing paganism, which is the revival they're talking about. And what is paganism? I did a quick little study on paganism. It means country dweller, the worship of more than one god, such as in ancient Rome. They had many gods. So what is paganism? Though they are numerous and varied, it's hard to put your finger on what it is because there's many different kinds and different practices and different beliefs. But they do hold, the pagans do hold a few things that I found that were similar. For example, paganism believes the physical world is a good place. Well, the Bible says it's evil. If you're lovers of the world, right? Well, paganism loves the world. And one is to be taken pleasure in by everyone. So they want it to be a happy place. We're not going to go off into that. I could go off. Everyone is considered to be a part of this Mother Earth. Mother Gaia. This is paganism. God in everything and God in everyone. Divinity itself reveals itself in every facet of the world, they say. So God's in everything, God's in this, and God's in that, rather than we are the temple. And remember, we are the church. We went to look at some furniture the other day, and the lady there was a Christian. She goes, we are the church. We don't need a building. And that's so true. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And we've gotten so focused on if you're not in a building, I had to get delivered from that thinking. Yes. Because we built a building, and it was a beautiful building, and it served its purpose in its time, but it was time to leave that whole building thing, because we're seeing what's coming. Yeah. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you're seeing what's coming. Yeah. And also in paganism, they're into this solar and lunar cycles. Yes. Yep. It's very significant about the moons and this, all the stuff and the vibes. How's that working for you? I'm sending you positive vibes. Did you get it? So any form of paganism, any form, is false doctrine. Paul addresses this in his letter in Romans 1:22-27. The people Paul described were worldly, materialistic, worshiping created things rather than the Creator. They worship trees, animals, rocks, going as far as to abuse their bodies in deviant sexual practices to reveal their passions. And they're doing the same today. And paganism and all. Now you just have to look at their bodies and you can see all from head to toe what they believe in. Their tattoos are showing all the symbolism. So much is going on. Paul then goes on to tell us why they did this and what the end result is in Romans 1:28. They didn't think it worthwhile to retain God in their knowledge. He gave them over to some people in some translations says a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, to do what ought not to be done. And what is a reprobate mind? Morally corrupt, wicked, bad character and bad habits. And why did they do this? Because they loved not the truth. And if you don't love the truth in these end times, even though truth is hard to swallow, some of these warnings are hard to give, but God wants you prepared. He wants you to prepare, and he does not want us to be deceived. And because there's so much layer upon layer of deception, we have to expose. We have to expose it because we want to love the truth. And the love of the truth is there's coming and there is a falling away. And I believe in this. I could totally be wrong, but I believe they set these people up in these platforms. They give them platforms. They give them all this, and now they're tearing them down. They want people to fall. They don't want you to follow after this leader, that leader, this scandal. I've never heard of so many scandals going on. But we told you a couple years ago this was coming. So don't get your eye on any leader. Keep your eye on Jesus. Amen. He's never going to forsake us. So how do I identify a false teacher? How do you know if someone's a false teacher? The first thing, false teachers and false teaching are always man-centered. It's all about you. Everything's about you. Now, we just read Matthew 10. It's not about you. In fact, he doesn't promise you all this worldly stuff. He promises you what? Division. He said the people that in your own household, you could be divided against because you're going the way of the Lord and they're going the way of another spirit or another God. It's going to cause what? Division. In 2 Timothy 1 through 9 in chapter 3, summed up in three words, lovers of self. We're now dealing with narcissism, pastors, narcissistic people, lovers of themselves. What is this going to do for me? We're not really serving the Lord and sacrifice. We're serving ourselves. Well, that's not good. So this man-centered teaching focuses on your breakthrough. Here's a carrot. Now, it's your breakthrough. The breakthrough's coming this year. This is going to be the year. This is the breakthrough year. Just sow that seed and put a name on it. You didn't put that name on it. That's why you didn't claim. That's why it didn't work. You got to name that seed or your destiny. And what it is really playing on our lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, the pride of life, your lust and your greed. And it's being manipulated in the name of God. And what is this all called? Covetousness. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to die to covetousness. We're not supposed to be covetousness. But these false teachers ignite covetousness. Mm-hmm. So I did just a little study on thou shalt not covet. In Exodus 20:17, it says thou shalt not covet. It's a commandment. And what is covetousness? The desire to have the wealth or possessions of someone else. You're not supposed to have. So all pornography, you're lusting after someone else's wife. That's covetousness. And when you're covetous, you're not thankful for what you have. Now, King Ahab, in 1 Kings 21, here's a good example of someone who was coveting. He was king of Israel. Ahab had everything he needed. And yet he saw a vineyard he did not own and he coveted it. He wanted it. His covetousness led to discontent, pouting, and eventual murder. That's it. When you start coveting, you want what someone else has. You're not supposed to have it, so you do things you shouldn't do to get it. And then if you got it, you got to do things to keep it. So his wicked wife Jezebel seized the vineyard for him. And what did he do? He had the rightful owner killed. There again, covetousness leads to murder. When we allow covetousness to have its way, it can lead to greater evils. In 1 Timothy 6:10, here's the cure for covetousness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We don't need to have what the Joneses have. And that's a lot of times what we were taught in church, man-centered gospel. Look at, you know, what I have, and I just got this new car, and I just got this new, all these evangelists. That is not the gospel. That is another gospel being presented, and it's not preparing people for really what's coming on the earth. For the trouble that we're in now, and for the false deceptions, and all this other stuff that's been going on, the leaders have not prepared the people.
No. You're right.
Woe unto the shepherds. Woe. That only feed themselves, that do not feed the sheep, that do not care about the sheep. So the cure is being content, for we brought nothing into this world. We can't take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, just think of a simpler life. A lot of people are going back to the simplicity. Just be content. I think one of the presidents was great. Go buy. Just go and, you know, buy up. Go be a good consumer. And we did. We bought stuff up, charged stuff up, and now people are realizing we're going to go back to the simplicity. We don't need all that. I went into this one, honestly, back in the day when I used to travel a lot, this pastor. I can't tell you. He must have had 40 jeans in one closet, and they were all just perfect. And I was like, who needs 40 pairs for a guy? You know, that's a little different. Girls might have more, but I thought, how odd, you know, just having just so many clothes for... Anyway, sorry, got off on a trail there. Little rabbit. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many, many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into what? Ruin and destruction. You watch movies, these people that want money, they go and rob, they kill, they do everything for something that's not theirs. They're coveting something that they shouldn't even have. Go work and get a job. Don't steal other people's money.
Right.
For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We cannot be covetousness. We cannot be covetous and thankful at the same time. So covetousness kills your joy. You want what the Joneses have. You want it, you want it, you want it. And then it destroys your peace because you want your wife to be like that wife. You want your husband to be like that person. Or you're coveting another man's wife, their ox, their sheep, or whatever else it said in the Old Testament. We don't do that now, but the principle is still the same. So we're to be thankful for all God's done for us. I'm very thankful that God's brought me out of the bad teachings that we were all in. Very thankful. Some are still stuck in there, and they don't want to come out because they'd have to admit that they were wrong, and preachers would have to admit they're wrong. Humble yourself and admit you're wrong. Trust me, people appreciate it when you tell them that you've come out of this, and be content with what you have. And the devil wants us to lust. He's the god of lust. And lust is a strong desire for something God has forbidden. He doesn't want you to have certain things to bring on all these roots of evil. So be thankful. Be thankful. So how do I identify a false teacher? Again, it's man-centered. Lovers of self, it's all about you, your breakthrough. And then it offers a gospel that doesn't offend anybody. Now we're into, you know, God loves everyone, and they're only emphasizing one side of God. Well, God is merciful, but there's also a judgment side. And that's why they're saying, the false teachers are saying, unhook from the Old Testament. Boy, I wouldn't take that away. You need that Old Testament. It gives you many stories. So now these false teachings, they offer a gospel that doesn't offend. Doesn't offend. We're just going to be happy. We're going to be joyful. We're going to have our breakthroughs. We're going to do our visions conferences, our pulse conferences. They present teachings that cost you nothing. To be a true Christian in this day, it's going to cost us. It already is. It's going to cost you because you're letting people know through the wisdom that God's given you of the evilness that's around, the corruption, and all the politics now that are merging with religion. It's very evil. Yeah. And many are deceived and caught up in it. Again, Matthew 10 says, a person's enemies shall be those of his own household. What do we do when our kids don't want to have anything to do with us? Pick up your cross and follow him. Pick up your cross and follow him. The new gospel tells us God exists only to make us happy, to make you rich, to make you wealthy, that you'll never be sick, you'll never have a down day. Guess what? Okay, false teachings also distort the kingdom of God. I hear so many people say, I'm just building the kingdom. Let me read this. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, but some teachings make the kingdom all about this world. Dominion theology, does that ring a bell? Teaches that man lost dominion in the garden and that this is the time of restoring that dominion. The church will supposedly conquer the seven mountains of society, religion, well, they are trying to conquer that. Yeah. Education, they're definitely moving in on that. Business, they're definitely moving in. Families, government, arts, and media. Have you seen the arts lately? Talk about some ugly art. Just blobs of things in the boulevards of the cities. It's just like, what's that? They call that New World Order art. Well, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. John 18:36. So they say it's to bring heaven to earth. They want to invade Babylon and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. That's something only Jesus can do. Yeah. When he returns. Amen. Did you get that? And Jesus is going to return when the cup of iniquity is full. He's not going to come and just zip us out of here. You're not prepared for that either. A lot of people weren't prepared for the last couple years. Right. We endure to the end. We're good soldiers. We do whatever God asks us to do. Our life has an appointment. There's an appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Our days are in God's hands. The devil can't snuff you out before your appointment. That's right. That's what I believe. Yep. There's appointed unto man once, unless you do something stupid and run in front of a car. But only Jesus can accomplish some of these things. And Jesus told the Pharisees who asked when the kingdom of God would come. He said the kingdom of God is not always coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is. Or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Now this is Luke 17:20-21. So in one sense, the kingdom is here. But in another, it's yet to come. So that's a little bit mysterious, but when you get born again, the kingdom of God is within us, right? So those in the New Apostolic Reformation and the Word of Faith, all these other teachings, they are always looking for visible signs. Signs and wonders that the kingdom is here. Signs and wonders. That's another area of deception, which we came out of, by the way. And they do all they can do to influence society, bringing heaven to earth. They think that this earth is going to be a... I don't think they're doing a very good job, do you? I think Gloria needs to start rebuking some weather because she's really letting down on these... The Word of Faith people thought they could control the weather. Bringing heaven to earth means conditions on earth should match heaven. Well, that's not going to happen. They said there's going to be no sickness, no sin or suffering in heaven. So heaven will come to earth when Christ returns, not before. So these false teachers are trying to say we're now in the dominion theology that we're going to conquer these seven mountains. And it is. It's invading Babylon. This world, Jesus is going to come. But I tell you, wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of Jesus, would you?
No.
You got to have the fear of God.
Right.
Don't fear man and what they can do. Fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so God is building his church. Right now, God is building his church. Mm-hmm. We're getting people saved. We're getting people born again, making disciples. He's not building kingdoms.
Okay.
He's building his church.
Right.
Amen? And don't get discouraged because of the tares growing with the wheat. He said, let them grow together.
Yep.
Let them grow together. And we're seeing that. Next, false teachings magnify experiences. I've taught a lot on this, so I'm not going to go on to this much, but they always magnify experiences. They say the sinner deserves an encounter with God. Well, people supposedly take trips to heaven, receive downloads, new revelations, new interpretations of Scripture. Teachings are based on experience. It's encounters with God. God told me this. I hate that when people use the God card. Someone used that on Tim. God told me you shouldn't do this project. Well, God didn't tell him. He did it, and he did it fine, and it worked out great. When people use the God card, it's a manipulation.
It is.
Don't do it, because I don't want you to do that. Or God told me I'm supposed to marry you. Don't ever fall for that one, girls or guys. Long story on that one. So their teachings are based on experiences, encounters with God, angels, or visions. This is what the false teachers are doing. And they're using the platforms, the big ones, to do it. We're like David fighting Goliath right now. Do you know that? But
yeah.
God's at least with David. So in Galatians 1:8, but if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Now, do you know what accursed means? Accursed means doomed to destruction. It means excommunicated. If they're preaching this, walk away. Separate from them. Cut them off. Well, all my friends are there. I've had to do it.
Yeah.
You've had to do it. We've had to do it. Why? Because they're preaching another gospel.
Yeah.
It's poison.
Yep.
And they want signs. The rich man in Hades thought that if his five living brothers had the experience of someone returning from the dead to preach to him, that they would repent. Here again, they want something else. Rather than the Bible, they want a sign. Raise them up from the dead. Abraham replied, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Luke 16:31. Paul, a real apostle who had a real experience in the third heaven, wrote of his experience in the third person, and he heard things that cannot be told. These false prophets tell everything and add a little more. A little bit of sugar. A little more sugar helped the medicine go down. Say, God said, I had a vision. The angel came. Oh, I guess somebody came to one of these guys, these faith preachers, said that Jesus came and appeared to him with a bunch of cookies. I didn't even open it up to watch. I was just like, seriously? People are going to believe this stuff? Oh, yeah, and the jello in heaven, you know. They're just mocking. This is mockery. This is when he said he couldn't even, Paul couldn't even talk about these experiences.
Yeah.
He heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. It's not the time yet. Today's apostles, they flaunt their so-called trips to heaven, revelations on TV. Oh, we got to follow him. You know, and I used to. This guy had seven visitations from Jesus. Lord have mercy, the years I wasted on that false teacher. Even genuine signs and wonders will not persuade those who reject the truth. Jesus knew it. He said they're not going to receive it. They'd just say they didn't really raise from the dead. They'd find another excuse. If they're not going to believe the Bible, they're not going to believe.
That's right.
Right? So the Antichrist, what's he going to do? Bring signs and wonders. So a great deception is coming in that arena. If you're one that wants to see things, you can be easily deceived. And lastly here, false teachings present a politically correct gospel that offends none and saves none. It's not going to offend you, but it's not going to get you saved either.
Right.
Because they don't believe in hell. And they believe everyone goes to heaven. A modern so-called gospel is an attack on God's word. Jesus will build his church. I want to say that again. Jesus is building his church. The church is not a building. We are the temple.
Amen.
We are the temple, right? And be careful what you allow in your temple.
That's right.
Let's not get discouraged by the wheat and the tares growing together. The truth mixed with lies, this is the deception. If there wasn't any truth, you couldn't be deceived. It's just enough scripture to take you off course and to take you away from God into another Jesus, another gospel. There's a massive delusion, deception taking place. The Word of God, I want to encourage you, will produce fruit in those that have ears to hear. Sometimes I think, oh, no one's listening to me, and I'll get an email from another country, and they go, we're the remnant here. We're listening. I was like, that's true. If they're part of the remnant church, God's going to give them ears to hear. And we just have to preach the word regardless of where it falls, but there will be fruit. And sometimes you plant a seed and you think no one's listening. You never know what that seed's going to do, right? True. So the word of God will produce fruit, and what we do, we have to preach it and let the fruit, God will take care of the fruit. There's always a remnant. You're not alone. You might feel alone. You might not know other Christians that are on the same page, but you're not alone. There's a lot of people that are not going to fall for the Kool-Aid, for the deception, for the political stuff that's going on, because their Bible is very clear and they understand it. And that's the thing. When you've come out of these false movements, you have to start reading your Bible. Because we got in this trouble because we let someone else tell us what the Bible said. And then we followed the man in his books, what the Bible said. And then little by little, they're taking us a path off into the new spirituality, the new age. They don't call it new age. Now they call it different names, different things. But they just all have a book, don't they? They just all have a book of how to do it. Their methods, their formulas. Why are false teachers so popular? Because they tell the people what they want to hear. The real gospel says he's come not to bring peace, but he's come to bring a sword. There's going to be some division. There's going to be some shaking. You're going to find out who your Judases are in your life. He put that story in because you'll have Judases too. You'll have some Delilahs. All these stories you walk through and you're like, wow, that's why that's in there. Right? Jesus promised conflict with families, persecution, trouble, tribulation in this world. But do not fear. Do not fear. He said, I've overcome the world. So our battle now, and that's why I spend so much time on it, is false teachings, false ministries, false teachers. And this is what we have to expose now. Why? Because God's building his church. And he doesn't want us to be deceived. He wants us to know there's a price to follow him. But the rewards will be fantastic. Amen. The rewards, some now in this life, and then some when you get your rewards for not bowing. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not bowing. Amen. So, Father, we thank you that many are in storms right now, and they're going to come out of these storms not even smelling like smoke. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Father, we thank you for empowering people really with strength that's from on high, for things they're going through. They've lost their jobs. They've seen their kids backslide. So many things are going on. But in spite of all this, Lord, you said you would build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we thank you, Father. The wheat and the tares are growing together. We're not going to be discouraged. We know there's wheat out there. Sometimes we only see the tares, but we know there's fruit, and we know that as we preach the word, there'll be good fruit. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Trade your helmet for a crown. At the altar.